I'm Bill Littlefield. Those are Chicago Cubs fans, and they're cheering, celebrating, because on Thursday, Chicago clinched the National League Central Division for the first time since 2008. That is up first on this week's Three Stories You Should Know. Joining me are Eric Malinowski of Bleacher Report via Skype and Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Michael, tell us about the Cubs.
Well, whenever teams have gone a long time without any success, fans, by nature, irrational, illogical beings, always come up with an excuse to make sense of their misery. Fans often lean on bad luck, or in extreme cases, they rely on curses. Mm. And for much of their 86-year drought between championships, Red Sox fans sought the pity of the nation because of the curse of the Bambino. The Red Sox won that ring in 2004. Since then, we've seen the Chicago White Sox end a similarly long drought, which I might add has been totally forgotten by the masses. We've seen my hometown Kansas City Royals, shameless plug, in 30 years of misery. We've seen the Golden State Warriors in a 40-year drought. And we've seen the Cavaliers just end a 50-year championship drought for a city known as a mistake by the lake. But through all that, there have been the Chicago Cubs. They haven't been to the World Series in 69 years, haven't won a championship since Teddy Roosevelt was president. But that could finally come to an end. These Cubs have been the best team in baseball for most, if not all, of the season, and a prohibitive favorite to win it all. So I ask, if the Cubs can overcome the GOAT and the Bartman and every other concoction that's to blame for their drought, can we finally bury curses in professional sports?
I'm all for it. Let's end them all. As Michael might have been, I covered the Game 6 in Cleveland these past NBA Finals. As I was coming from the airport, go to downtown, I got off the light rail, and my train engineer said, you're here in downtown. Enjoy your day here. Go Cavs, and God help us all. And it was just a really just – this is sort of the core nature of fandom, this sort of happy sort of irrationality. By the way, the idea that we could have a Cubs-Red Sox World Series for the first time since 1918, I mean, think about all of the significance there. I'm ready for it. Bring it on.
I'm thinking of an old friend, as the Cubs have succeeded so spectacularly, at least to this point. That's Lenny Marullo, who played shortstop for the Cubs back in the 40s. He was on the team that lost the World Series to the Tigers back in 45. He died a while back. I'm thinking of how much he would have enjoyed seeing the Cubs be the first club to clinch a division title this season, and I'm going to root for the Cubs from here on in on his behalf. I hope that'll be okay with all my friends and associates in Boston, but that's what I'm going to do.
Since my Royals are done, why not? Go Cubbies.
Eric, I understand you've been doing quite a bit of reading about a particular profession this week.
That's right, Bill. With college football season recently kicking off, there were a couple of recent profiles that caught my eye. One was for The Ringer. They went long on Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, who, as much for anything else, is known for his nonstop energy and antics on the sidelines. And just a couple days ago, for Bleacher Report, there was a pretty fascinating profile of Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer, who was pretty open about his mental health struggles over the past few years. What it really got me thinking about was sort of this state of college football and this perception about coaches. And I'm hypothesizing a little bit here, but I feel like maybe this is where the main appeal of college football kind of rests now. I mean, there have always been like pretty, you know, high profile head coaches in the sport, but they've taken the place where there used to be star players before. We've got guys like Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette and Josh Rosen, but I think the common sports fan would be hard pressed to even know where these guys play. I mean, I think back to just the recent past where we had guys like Vince Young or Cam Newton, or dare I even speak his name, Tim Tebow. Now the stars of the sport are the guys on the sidelines that are already making the millions of dollars, not the guys who could be doing that in the NFL soon.
Michael, does that feel weird to you?
It does. Coming up, you know, I was a huge fan of the Miami Hurricanes, and there were just so many guys, just flamboyant characters. You had so many guys that just came out, and you saw their personality it was just radiating on the screen. And you wonder if the coaches are not allowing these guys to really show who they are. It seems like once they get to the NFL, you start to really see the characters kind of come through. But you wonder if that sort of led to the only thing you latch on to is the coaches, because they're the guys that are consistently there.
I don't think this is a new development. I mean, Newt Rockne, Bear Bryant, Bud Wilkerson, Bo Schembechler, Joe Paterno, all these guys were far better known than anybody who played for him. We were fooling around in the office trying to think of how many guys we could think of who played for Newt Rockne besides George Gipp, and nobody could come up with anybody. But Eric, I'll give you the opportunity to tell me I'm wrong and wrap this up.
No, you're right. This has always been sort of part of the fabric of college football. I guess my feeling is that I think these two things used to just be in a little bit more balance. Maybe not even sure it's ever been quite 50-50, but I just feel like maybe there was a time when the players might have been a little bit more on an even playing field, but it certainly doesn't feel that way anymore.
My story comes from a non-story, or what I at least consider a non-story. Through a hack into WADA's database, we learned that the Williams sisters and Simone Biles had been granted exemptions to use medicine that's on the list of banned substances for Olympians. Move along now, nothing to see here, because lots of athletes get exemptions so they can use medications for asthma, ADHD, and all sorts of other conditions. And of course, a lot of athletes still cheat. So I wonder if it's time to review the whole business of policing athletes in this area. Is it time to say they're entitled to use any substance that you or I could get with a doctor's prescription? Athletes, teams, even National Olympic committees determined to work the system certainly can employ doctors who will prescribe on demand, but they do that now, and I'm not sure that would be a change. So why pick and choose which substances approved by a doctor are allowed in sports? Anybody ready to sign on to my revised streamlined protocol?
Well, I know I'm a little conflicted because I think as fans, we often just want to be entertained, and if somebody's willing to, you know, shorten their life to entertain me, I guess that's okay.
but that was very blunt.
I know that sounds very cold, but yeah, I think we get into over policing. You want to make sure that we can appreciate human achievement, you know, naturally. I'm sort of conflicted because I'll tell you, I love seeing Barry Bonds smash 73, so and I'll just leave it there.
Well, as long as we're not talking about the shady doctor who signs off on Donald Trump's health reports, then I'm all in favor of doctor prescriptions and letting athletes, you know, be exempt for all sorts of things. I mean, this is the kind of thing where my mind always ends up inevitably on things like LASIK eye surgery. You're still talking about a technique that can take a person that has, you know, 20/200 vision, and they can end up with 20/15 vision. You know, as long as those are the sorts of things that are not going to be questioned and are going to be readily accepted, then heck yeah, let's exempt all sorts of things as far as I'm concerned.
I think we have made our point, and we can look forward to practically instantaneous change and raised consciousness on the part of WADA and USADA and all the rest of the bureaucrats sitting around counting blood types and things like that, don't you think?
FIFA will be proud.
All because of you. You should pat yourself on the back.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been Eric Malinowski of Bleacher Report and Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports. Fellas, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.